Radio Prague News.
The Czech Foreign Minister has told U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry that the Czech Republic will aid the international effort to break the power of the Islamic State. The European Commission has criticized the Czech Republic for failing to fully transpose the EU directive about cross-border healthcare into its legal system. And seven students from Ukraine have started postgraduate studies at Balletsky University in Olomouc. Attending the UN General Assembly in New York, Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek met briefly with U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry on Wednesday night to discuss the Islamic State threat and the situation in Ukraine. The Czech Foreign Minister said that he had confirmed Prague's commitment to the international effort to break the power of the Islamic State by all means available. The two officials also discussed the present situation in Ukraine, the need to avert a humanitarian crisis during the winter months, and help create conditions for the country's future democratic development. The office of the Czech government has said it received a similar threat in the mail as that sent to the office of the president. The letter was written in the name of the Islamic State and allegedly protested against the fact that the Czech Republic had sent ammunition to Kurdish forces in Iraq. Both letters contained an unspecified white powder, which was found to be harmless. President Miloš Zeman, who was not in residence when the letter arrived at Prague Castle, said later he believed it was the work of a harmless lunatic. Interior Minister Milan Chovanec said on Thursday that the matter was being investigated and that it appeared both letters had been sent by the same person. The European Commission has criticized the Czech Republic, Romania and Slovenia for failing to fully transpose the EU directive about cross-border healthcare into their legal systems. The three countries' governments have been called on to correct the lapse or face a court dispute. The 2011 EU directive stipulates that all EU citizens have the right to seek treatment beyond their country's borders if that treatment is not available in their home country or they would have to wait excessively long to get it. All EU member states were expected to fully transpose this into their national legislation by October of 2013. Top O9 Deputy Head Miroslav Kalousek, who has been ordered to apologise to colleague MP Zdeněk Ondráček from the Communist Party for calling him a communist feasel, a highly derogatory term for officers who served the regime, beating up and persecuting its opponents, is refusing to comply and has asked the Lower House to revoke the decision of the Mandatory and Immunity Committee, which dealt with the case. The committee concluded that although Zdeněk Ondráček served as a police officer before the fall of communism, the term used by MP Kalousek was vulgar and insulting. The top O9 deputy head said he merely called a spade and will not demean himself by apologising. If he refuses to do so, he will be expected to pay a fine amounting to his monthly salary as an MP. Seven students from Ukraine have started postgraduate studies at Balatsky University in Olomouc, which invited them in February in reaction to the tense political situation in their home country. The university is covering the cost of their monthly scholarships and will pay for their travel expenses, accommodation and social and health care. The rector of Balatsky University, Yaroslav Miller, said it was a gesture of solidarity with Ukraine in the country's time of need. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be partly cloudy to overcast, with rain in places and day temperatures around 15 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, ihned.cz becomes the first Czech news website to offer premium paid-for content. Czech NGO names ambassadors to combat age discrimination. And later on in the program, Dvůr Králové is spearheading international efforts to save northern white rhino from extinction. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The news website ihned.cz will next week become a pioneer of paid content on the Czech internet. The site, affiliated with the business daily Hospodářské noviny, will put up a paywall on Monday, restricting free access to 10 stories a month. But will it manage to find subscribers on a market where users are used to free news? Jan Richter has the details.
ihned.cz will become the first major Czech news website to ask its readers to pay. Users will be able to access up to 10 free stories a month, plus some stories picked up from news agencies. But they will have to pay 299 crowns, or some $15, for a limited access to ihned.cz content. Michaela Beladová is responsible for overseeing the change.
We wanted to follow the rest of the world, since Germany, US, UK and Slovakia even have paywalls on their news portals. And the thing is that we believe that not all the information should be free of charge. It's some Czech thing that people are used to free content, but the precious information and our premium content should be paid for, because we need to have resources to make the information even better and to be always on top with business information for our readers.
With some 800,000 monthly visits, ihned.cz is part of the Economia publishing house owned by the Czech coal and energy tycoon Zdeněk Bakala. His portfolio includes the business newspaper of record, Hospodářské noviny, the weeklies Respekt and Ekonom, and other publications. ihned.cz, however, faces an environment where many people are not willing to reach into their pockets to access online content. In Slovakia, all major publishers came together several years ago to successfully launch a joint payment system. But in the Czech Republic, some of the biggest players are opposed to such plans, most notably Seznam.cz, the largest Czech search engine, which also carries the popular news site Novinky.cz. David Slížek is the editor of Lupa.cz, a leading Czech media website.
Seznam's long-term strategy goes against paid content. It instead relies on the advertising model. It makes sense because, given its size, Seznam is able to generate big revenues from ads. But if such a strong player is opposed to paid content, the other players will find it very difficult to put their content behind paywalls.
David Slížek believes specialized business publications with unique content have a better chance of success than general news websites. But in the long run, he says, paid content is the way to go for all media outlets.
I think at one point it will become commonplace to pay for much of online content. But I think the path to it will be very long and will be lined with a number of corpses of publishing houses which will not cope with the transformation.
David Slížek, the editor of media website Lupa.cz, ending that report by Jan Richter. Around 500,000 Czechs are currently unemployed, and with roughly 50,000 vacancies, it is clear that only 1 in 10 applicants will succeed in finding a new job. The situation is all the more difficult for people over 50, who often look for a job in vain before reaching retirement age. According to Nikola Šimandlova of the NGO Alternativa 50+, which has just launched a new project against ageism, discriminating people on the basis of age is becoming increasingly common.
The problem of age discrimination is very serious. We thought that, for example, gender will be the problem, or that the people with some disabilities, for example, health disabilities, will be discriminated the most. But the researches show that the age is the worst topic of discrimination.
And within the group of people aged 50 and over 50, which group of people is mostly affected? Is it women?
We can't say if men or women are more discriminated or less discriminated. But when we spoke to those people over 50 who had some experience with discrimination, women felt more discriminated than men. So women feel more discriminated in the labor market and also in society, not only because of their age, but because of the combination of age and their gender.
What chance do people over 50 actually have in finding a job? And is there a real threat that they will actually never find a job once they lose the job they had?
people over 50 really do have many problems when they, for example, lose their job. And when they want to find a new job, they are discriminated at the very beginning. So when they, for example, send their CV to a potential employer, they are discriminated in this first round because many people said, and also the employers told us, when they see the year of birth in their CV, they automatically put the CV away. It means that the people are viewed not by their capacity, experience, and what they can do.
So you would say that one of the most serious causes of age discrimination is stereotyping on the side of employers?
Yes, older people or people over 50 are usually seen as not flexible, that they don't have any creativity anymore, and that they cannot use computers and modern technologies, and they cannot speak any languages, and they are seen as one group, but that's not true. So our aim is to fight against these stereotypes and to try to look at these people very individually.
Today you presented a network of ambassadors, personalities who will fight against ageism. How exactly will they do that?
We try to show that ageism is a problem in the society, and we also want the white public to know about this problem in the society. And these personalities, they are very well known, so just because they're well known, we can show with their help that they also fight against ageism. So for us it is important that these personalities will talk about it, that they will share, for example, our video or our texts and researches and surveys and so on. And because of these ambassadors, we can spread the topic of age discrimination in the society.
Nikola Shimandlova of the NGO Alternativa 50+. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. And now it's time for a new edition of Panorama, brought to you by Daniela Lazarová.
Zoos in a number of European countries banned rhino horns on Sunday on the eve of World Rhino Day in order to highlight the plight of the endangered species. Dvor Králové Zoo, which has for years spearheaded international efforts to save the northern white rhino from extinction, was among them. I spoke to Jan Stejskal, in situ projects coordinator at Dvor Králové Zoo, about the zoo's conservation efforts and the chances of saving a species on the brink of extinction.
We are actually involved in projects that are aimed at saving two very rare species of rhinos. One of them is northern white rhino, which is subspecies to white rhino. The subspecies lived only in Central Africa, and according to scientists, this subspecies has so distinctive characteristics that they say it has to be different from the other subspecies for at least about a million of years. There are only 7 specimens of this kind of rhino left in the world. Actually, none of them is anymore in a real wild, but one is in the Dvor Králové Zoo, 2 of them are held in the San Diego Zoo in the United States, and 4 of them are held in a semi-wild environment in Kenya. It's not the area that would be their original habitat, but the reason for this is that there is no safe area in their original habitat. And those 4 that are now in Olbejeta in Kenya, they were transferred to this area from the Dvor Králové Zoo 5 years ago.
The zoo is the only animal park, the Dvor Králové Zoo, where the northern white rhino has actually bred in captivity. How did you manage
that? Yeah.
What is the secret to the success? How did you manage to get them to breed?
It's difficult to uncover the secret, but I would say there are main reasons behind it. One is that we have really experienced staff. The other reason is that there was not much northern white rhinos that have ever been in captivity. I would say that the total number of this kind of rhino in captivity would be below 30 specimens. So I think it's this, you know, quite narrow pool that is one of the reasons behind why the only Vukralova Zoo has been able to reproduce them in captivity.
When did you get your first white rhinos, and when did
it
you get them?
It was in 1975. It was done by then director of the Vukralova Zoo, Josef Wagner. He brought them from South Sudan. It was two males and four females. And what is interesting that actually none of these females got pregnant. What happened was that the other female from other zoo, from Knowsley Park in the UK, had to be brought to the Vukralova Zoo a few years later. And she was the female that started a population, captive population of northern white rhino.
So it's just a question of chance of getting the right rhinos together. The last
it seems like this, yeah.
The last calf in Dvorkralovo Zoo was born in 2000, I believe. So you sent four white rhinos to Kenya in the hope that they would start breeding there. How has that gone? How successful has that been?
Well, their health conditions improved in Kenya, and actually even the cycle of females improved in the years that followed after the translocation. But unfortunately, they have not been able to reproduce until now. So that's why we decided that it should be better to check whether their reproduction organs are really in a really good shape. So that's why we plan this December to visit them in Kenya with the specialists from the Berlin and to examine health checks.
If the picture does not look good, then what happens? Is this a very great danger for the white rhino? Is it has it reached the point of extinction?
Well, this is difficult to say, but some people say that it's true that this rhino is actually extinct. This only this seventh specimen that they will not be able to reproduce. So we see like a last specimen of a species that is actually behind the tipping point of extinction. However, the artificial techniques of reproduction are so advanced that we believe that there might be a chance for artificial reproduction of this kind of rhino. Actually, we are working on it even with the female Nabire that is held in the Vukralova Zoo. She was not translocated to Kenya because she's not capable of breeding anymore, but she might have healthy one ovary, and this ovary could provide oocytes, and from these oocytes it could be possible to create, in artificial conditions, we could create an embryo from these oocytes. So this is way that we would like to try, and the similar attempts we could try with the females that are transferred to Kenya. In a case they wouldn't be able to reproduce naturally anymore, then we would consider some kind of artificial reproduction.
There has been talk of crossbreeding the northern white rhino with a southern white rhino in order to save the species. Is that underway, or is it just being considered?
It is underway. Actually, what we did is that after a long time that the northern white rhinos were not able to reproduce and were not able to give birth to pure northern white rhino, we decided that we will try to give access of southern white wool to northern white females. And this happened on 25th January of this year. So on the 25th January of this year, in Olpejeta in Kenya, the southern white rhino bull was introduced to the northern white rhino females. What actually happened is that we witnessed a few attempts for mating, but unfortunately we still do not have results of fecal samples and of analysis of fecal samples. And these analyses are the only way how we could find out whether the females are really pregnant or not. To be honest, at the moment, I do not believe they are.
You say there are now just four rhinos, white rhinos, that can reproduce, but time is running out. How many reproductive years do they have ahead of them? How much time do you have?
Well, this is again very difficult to say, because one of these males is over 40, which is age that in which he could die almost every week, we could say. The other male is about 34 years old, so yes, sometimes still, but it's also quite an age for a rhino. So, you know, the highest hopes we have for Fatu, which is only 14 years old. But on the other hand, experience tells us that if the rhino female didn't get pregnant prior to her age of 8 or 9, some kind of liaisons can develop her utero, and it can happen that it would prevent her from getting pregnant in her life.
Mm.
So it's really difficult to say, and you know, until we do not conduct the examination of the reproductive organs, I can't really say, you know, what the chances and hopes are.
Is there some kind of last-ditch solution that you may have in mind, like freezing sperm and...
Yeah, actually, in the Vukralovo Zoo, we have already tried artificial insemination from frozen semen, but unfortunately it has so far proven to be futile. So the other way which we could try could be that from this frozen sperm, in a case we would be able to harvest oocytes from the ovary from the northern white rhino, there might be a possibility to create an embryo. The sperm would be injected in this oocyte, and you know, the egg would be created. And after this, the embryo could be created, and this embryo of the northern white rhino could be inserted or placed into the southern white rhino female, and the southern white rhino is not that endangered species as the northern white rhino. And this southern white rhino could give birth to northern white rhino. Of course, this is just a theory, but we seriously consider trying to go this way. And during the examination of the reproductive organs, we would like to also collect a lot of biological samples that would help us in the future to undergo trial for genetic cloning, we could say, of this northern white rhino.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different artificial reproduction technique from artificial insemination or from creating artificial embryo. So what they achieved in the United States is that it's a special kind of cell that is called induced pluripotent stem cell. And there is a potential that from this cell could be developed, generated, kind of cell that could be used for artificial reproduction. But this way is really at the beginning.
You are also involved in the international fight against poachers and rhino horn trafficking. And last Sunday on World Rhino Day, you organized the burning of rhino horns, did you not, at the zoo?
Yeah, this is true. We actually realized a few months ago that breeding of rhinos and sending back to Africa, because here I might mention that apart from the northern white rhino, we are probably one of the best breeders of the black rhino in the world outside of Africa. And we have sent actually 3 black rhinos to Tanzania, where they started, where they are part of a new population in this country, where it's altogether less than 100 rhinos. So this new population was founded also by rhinos from the Vukralovo Zoo. But what I wanted to say, that a few months ago, we actually realized that it's not enough to breed rhinos and send them back to Africa, that we also have to take some efforts at tackling the demand for the rhino horn, because this is actually the driving force behind the poaching. So we decided that we will come up with a strong appeal to the public, and we decided that we will burn our rhino horns that we have stockpiled in our zoo for many years from dead animals. It means from animals that died in a zoo, or these horns are, you know, those horns that had to be cut or trimmed before the rhinos were translocated to other zoos or to Africa. So what we did is that we made a big ceremony where we invited honorable guests. One of the guests that we really appreciate was able to come is Tony Fitzjohn, who actually runs the sanctuary in Tanzania, where we sent those 3 black rhinos in 2009. Tony Fitzjohn is a really legendary conservationist. He worked with the George Adamson of Bonfree fame. He worked with him about 20 years in northern Kenya, and they were putting lions back to the wild. Now he runs the Rhino Sanctuary in Tanzania. The other really honorable guest was the Secretary General of CITES, which is International Treaty focused on protecting animals against the exploitation by the trade. So John Scanlon, the Secretary General of the CITES, was present at the Dvůr Králové Zoo as well. And the other guest was Monika Leová. She is Miss Earth of Czech Republic, and she is of Vietnamese origin. And we were really, really happy to have her, because she decided to help us to reach the Vietnamese community in Czech Republic, and also to country of her predecessors, to Vietnam, to gain people over that using of rhino horn doesn't make sense, because it does not have properties it is believed to have. And she will help us also to reach public in this country and make people understand that it's better to have rhinos alive than to kill them for medicine that doesn't work.
Jan Stejskal, Projects Coordinator at Dvůr Králové Zoo, ending that edition of Panorama by Daniela Lazarová. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thanks for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.